Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of HEICL Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hirmat, Managing Director from HEICL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and a warm welcome to all of you. We extend our gratitude to all of you for participating in our Quarter 2 and H1 FY24 results conference call. I am Sameer Hirmat, Managing Director, HEICL Limited, and I will be leading the discussion and presenting the financial results. On this call, I have with me Mr. Aneesh Swadi, Senior President, Business Transformation, Mr. Kuldeep Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj Malhotra, our President, Pharmaceuticals Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our internal investor relations advisors. I hope you have had the chance to go through our earnings release, investor presentation, and the financial statements for the quarter and half-year ended 30th September 2023. These are available on HEICL's official website and the stock exchange's website. The global chemical industry continues to experience a challenging period, with prices declining across product segments coupled with the high channel inventory levels and intense price competition. Customers are focusing on lower prices to bring down their average inventory cost while selectively making new purchases. We expect prices to bottom out, elevated inventory levels to subside, and demand likely to pick up from the end of this financial year, resulting in an improvement in operational profitability quarter-on-quarter going forward. China's economic woes have created depressed market conditions specifically for the crop protection market. However, though we are witnessing price stabilization in certain segments, we expect demand to improve by end of this financial year. For Q2 FY24, our revenue stood at 435 crores, EBITDA stood at 57 crores, with EBITDA margins at 13.2%, an increase of 73 basis points on a year-on-year basis. On a sequential basis, our revenue and EBITDA grew by 12% and 14% respectively. For H1 FY24, our revenue stood at 823 crores, EBITDA stood at 108 crores, with EBITDA margins at 13.1%, an increase of 323 basis points on a year-on-year basis. We were able to navigate through market headwinds on back of cost improvement program and softening in prices of certain raw materials. In our pharma business, while we had a challenging quarter from a margin perspective, we have started to see improvements in volume and expect the trend to continue in the second half of the financial year. Deeper penetration in Japan, Latin America, and MENA geographies has started yielding positive traction in the API segment. We have started receiving regulatory approvals across geographies for our newer product portfolio. Our new multipurpose plant for animal health is completed at Panoli, Gujarat, and commissioning is underway. On the crop protection side, the industry is witnessing challenges owing to steep price erosion globally, followed by stagnant demand globally on account of disruptive destocking in the market. Demand is likely to show signs of picking up towards the end of this financial year, which is expected to result in favorable operating leverage, resulting in improved margin profile sequentially. To navigate the impact of market headwinds, we've implemented a range of strategic initiatives aimed at cost improvement, optimizing our supply chain, streamlining procurement, digitization, and enhancing productivity through automation. These steps have contributed to improving operational efficiency. In summary, we are well positioned for sustainable growth in the medium to long term. While we acknowledge the presence of short-term challenges due to the current global situation, we remain confident in the company's long-term prospects for growth and profitability. For the crop protection business, In the quarter 2 FY24, we reported a revenue of 165 crores, EBIT of 22 crores and EBIT margin of 13.3%. For the H1 FY24, the crop protection business reported revenues of 328 crores, EBIT of 39 crores and EBIT margin of 11.9%. On a sequential basis, EBIT grew by almost 28%. The global crop protection industry continues to go through a challenging phase on account of disruptive destocking situation coupled with aggressive pricing from Chinese companies. We are under advanced stages of discussions with various customers for new projects which are expected to yield positive results in the medium to long term. Our strategic vendor development, diversification of our supplier base and backward integration program is helping us to mitigate supply chain risks. Our new multi-purpose plant at Panoli is under commissioning. In the own product segment, we continue to witness higher than normal inventory levels in the end market, which is expected to improve towards the end of this financial year and the beginning of next year. However, the medium to long-term outlook for these products remains positive and end-user consumption is stable. Additionally, we are actively exploring new product and service opportunities with newer customers to further diversify and expand our business. Our CDMO business continues to receive inquiries from both current and new clients. This demonstrates the continued demand for our contract manufacturing and development services. We are focused on capitalizing on these opportunities and enhancing our position among global innovator companies. Now, I would like to hand over to Manoj Barotra, head of our pharmaceutical business, who will provide an overview of the pharmaceutical division's performance. Over to you, Manoj.
Yeah, thank you, Sameer, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll start with the financials. For Q2 FY24, pharma business reported revenue of Rs. 270 crores, EBIT of Rs. 12 crores and EBIT margin of 4.3%. For H1 FY24, pharma business reported revenue of Rs. 495 crores, EBIT of Rs. 22 crores and EBIT margin of 4.4%. On a sequential basis for Q2, there is revival in both revenues and EBIT, which is up 20% and 22% respectively. We are witnessing good traction in pharma business aided by the revival of API segment. On a year-on-year basis, certain raw material prices have decreased. This, along with the implementation of a variety of measures to enhance cost optimization and operational efficiencies, has led to better profitability. In the API segment, we are witnessing a sequential revival in our API business. We have been able to successfully maintain our market share in legacy products despite competition. Our efforts to penetrate new regions like Japan, Middle East, Latin America are yielding positive results, leading to increased interest and visibility in these markets. We have started receiving regulatory approval across geographies for new product portfolio. During the quarter, we received Taiwanese approval for our API dapagliflozin. This strengthens our position as a pure-play API manufacturer and commitment towards a portfolio in the anti-diabetic therapeutic category. We have a robust pipeline with 8 to 10 products under development, and our target is to launch 3 to 4 products during FY24. Going forward, we prioritize maximizing API sales by increasing our customer share of wallet, investing in new markets, and expanding our market share in specific APIs, where we have advantages in terms of backward integration, scale, and technology. In the CDMO segment, in quarter 2 FY24, witnessed a muted performance for CDMO business on the back of destocking situation. However, looking ahead, we anticipate the normalization of the CDMO industry towards end of FY24. We maintain a robust pipeline of projects in the CDMO space and actively pursue additional opportunities that have arisen in recent quarters. We have two opportunities in phase 3 of clinical trials which are likely to get commercial in the coming years. As we have mentioned before, CDMO is a long-term business that requires time, commitment and patience to establish strong relationships. We are pleased to report that despite the destocking situation, we have observed increased traction among our existing innovator customers, allowing us to expand our share of the business driven by newer set of molecules. On the overall pharma business, our CDMO revenue has been subdued and our API to CDMO ratio is close to 70 to 30% in H1 as compared to historical average of closer to 60-40 ratio. we expect comparatively better second half of the year, more so in Q4 as CDMO demand revives. As informed earlier, our API facility in Panoli has received a no-action indicated compliance status with 0483 observations from the US FDA. This achievement reflects our unwavering commitment to maintaining the highest standards of quality, compliance, and regulatory adherence across all our manufacturing sites. These developments further reinforce our position as a leading player in the industry, known for our strict adherence to quality and regulatory governance. Now, I would like to hand over to Anish Swadi, Senior President, Business Transformation, who will provide an overview of our animal health and business transformation initiatives.
Thank you, Manoj. I'll start off with an update to the animal health business. So the development of multiple APIs under a long-term contract with an innovator animal health company is on track. We have completed the construction of our multipurpose animal health facility at Panoli, and the commissioning of the asset is currently underway. We are on track to provide validation batches of several new products under development to our customer over a period of the next 4 to 6 quarters. These validation batches will act as a first step towards registration and then towards commercialization of the products. We are currently in discussions with several additional innovator customers to provide a variety of services ranging from R&D to manufacturing for their current and future portfolio needs. Our extensive manufacturing networks and deep engagement with global innovators along with niche customers positions us as the partner of choice in this field. By offering end-to-end support in process development and complex molecule synthesis, we have and are providing an end-to-end solution for our customers. To summarize, the long-term prospects will continue to outweigh the short-term challenges that we face currently. Project Pinnacle, our business transformation initiative, has already started to bear fruits. Several initiatives are underway for building new capabilities in terms of technology, resources, digitization, and infrastructure. We expect the momentum to continue positively into the future. I would now like to open the floor to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sajjal Kapoor, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. Has the number of CDMO customer audits changed meaningfully over the last 3 years? Can you share some numbers like how many annual audits Hycal was getting 3 years ago versus today, please?
Manoj, you want to take that?
Yeah, so in our CDMO business, we are regularly audited and visited by various customers. I don't have an exact number at this point of time, but we have seen several new customers who have come in the last 1 year. There was a gap during the COVID period, but in 2023, several new customers have come and visited us and audited us. But as we mentioned, the CDMO business is a long-term business and it takes time to scale up.
Yeah, Manoj, I was interested in, let's say, 2019, before COVID, you were getting X number of audits annually. Where is that number today? Ballpark, I mean, as a percentage, not the absolute number.
1.5X.
So 50% jump, right. Okay, so that's helpful. And is this across agro as well, or is it predominantly more traction on pharma, including animals?
No, I think it's for agro as well because we've been increasing our customer base and our market penetration. The number of customers that we've onboarded in the last few years has increased dramatically in both divisions. So there is a similar type of uptake of visits and audits from agro and chemical companies.
That's helpful, Sameer. So 50% increase over the last 4 years, does that also translate into 50% increase in the number of scientists that we have over the last 4 years, so 2019 versus today? Is that a fair assessment, or is that number on the scientific capability, stroke strength side, less than 50%?
I think the scientific community is more to do with the type of project that we've got. Some of the projects that we've got with our innovator companies involve R&D development contracts. So that's why we've strengthened R&D significantly in the last couple of years. Plus, the number of inquiries and which are under development. Manoj also mentioned a few NCEs that we are currently developing with our clients. So that all adds up to the reason why we have more R&D strength as we've built up our capabilities in the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, sure, Sameer. So I was just trying to get a better understanding on, I'll give you an example. So if those 50% increase in customer audits has actually translated into a near 50% increase in the workload, then I think it's obvious to assume that you would need roughly 50% more scientists, assuming that in 2019, every person was occupied, busy. Is that not the case? I mean, there is some increase, but the feeling I'm getting is not as high as 50% over the last 4 years.
Yeah, see, audits. Sorry, Manoj, take that. Yeah.
Yeah. See, audit is one thing, and then the customer approves your capabilities and the site. So there's always a lag. The audits may have improved by 50%, but scientific community number of people have not increased to that proportion. And we increase scientists as and when the real business comes in. So we always have some bench strength, but as and when we see visibility of new business coming in, then we add the scientists.
Sure. No, that's helpful. And maybe if, Sameer, you could answer. So today, if I look at the whole business, the consolidated entity, we work across three different segments. So we have human, we have animal, and crop protection capabilities. Does this not dilute our focus, as trying to cook too many recipes at the same time may spoil the dinner? Is that not possible, or you think that because you are working across different domains, there is a cross-fertilization, and it may actually be beneficial over the medium to long term to have three distinct capabilities? I mean, how do you see that? Is that a hindrance, or is that an advantage?
Actually, I see that as an advantage because there's a lot of cross-fertilization of ideas. You get economies of scale. Some of the sites are shared, so sites like the Panoli site does, crop, pharma, and animal. It does all the three, so you get economies of scale. R&D is a shared site, and some customers also have both sides of the segment. They do both animal and pharma, or crop and animal pharma. So there are some innovator companies that are looking at that. And if you look at, there's a lot of healthy competition that we have within our three divisions to vie for utilization of common resources. So there's good competition within the company. And if you look at some of our competitors, they are trying to do this. Many of our competitors in the pharma or the crop side have announced forays into either of the two segments. So this is a good balanced approach. One industry is kind of going through a rough patch, the second segment can kind of balance it out. It also helps in that, in de-risking from business cycle as well.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment, Sameer. And I think PI Industries is one example where they were predominantly into agro. They are now moving into pharmaceuticals, and Laurus Labs is another example where they were always in pharmaceutical, but now they are increasing exposure into animal and crop protection. So no, I take that. I've got more questions. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pranay Dedhia from Panchatantra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, Sameer. I hope everything's fine. Just a couple of observations on the numbers. This quarter, our ROE has been even below the cost of capital, whereas our margins on the crop protection as well as on the API are well below the industry average. Now, being long-term investors, you know, we've been expecting the margins to improve, and that's what the commentary has been in the past. But they just refuse to tick away, you know. At this time, I would say, as a long-term investor, at least somewhere or the other, you know, we need some answers. How do we expect improvement on these counts?
So I think the sales have been depressed on the prop side. If you look at the sales have come down quite considerably, and the product mix on the pharma side has been predominantly on the generics versus the CDMO. So that was the reason why the margins have been subdued. We expect H2 and, you know, the new products to start kicking in and all the CDMO part to come back from quarter three, quarter four. And I've been saying we expect quarter and quarter improvement, and towards the end of the year, we'll get back towards steady state. Product mix change will bring in a significant change in the margins going forward. And the new CapEx that comes on stream, which, as Anish mentioned, the animal health plant is commissioning is underway. The crop protection asset is also will start very soon. So that should have a better margin profile and to help the overall margins of both the divisions.
And do we expect the ROE to go northwards soon enough? Because this is the first quarter I've seen ROE is below cost of capital.
Yeah, it will start going up. I mean, this is the I think this is a one-off on the quarter. It will start improving.
And a couple of questions on the debt front. If you could just tell us what is the debt composition we currently have and the cost of debt at the moment.
Kuldeep, can you take this?
Yeah, sure. Our current total debts are almost 778 crore, which is absolutely in line with the corresponding half year last year, which was 779. Our cost of fund is 8.7 currently, which was 6.7. So, you know that MCLR rate has increased in the past last 6 months, 9 months, and therefore we are also impacted with that.
This 770 is entirely term loan, or you have a breakup of it?
No, we have 250 crore as a short-term loans and 535 crore as a long-term loans.
Okay, and further expansion capex, we don't need to raise any debt. I believe internal cash flows will suffice for it.
No, we'll have to do some funding from the next quarter, maybe, you know, H2. Because we have to complete the project which is unfinished, we'll need some money for this.
So will our debt equity ratio further deteriorate because of that?
No, not really, because we will have the equity also coming into the next H2. We'll have we are estimating good profits in the H2.
So the current debt equity ratio, if I'm not mistaken, was 0.61. That would stay the same?
Maybe 0.1, 0.2 here and there.
And what is the kind of capex we are looking at in this current year and next year then?
Sameer, you can answer about the next year.
Yeah, so I mean, historically we are doing, the idea is that the focus is now to complete the ongoing capex. And so the plan for this year is to complete the balance capex. So we said on an average, historically we are doing about 300 crores per year. And this year we are planning about 200 crores of capex. And the next year will be slightly lower than that as well, because the idea is to fill up the current assets.
So how much of 200 is left this year?
100 is already completed.
100 is left, yeah. 50% is left.
Okay, so 100 left, and next year you plan similar 200.
Maybe slightly lower than that, because the focus is on completing and filling up the plants, and you know they're two big assets that we have to fill up for next year.
Yeah, and we've been speaking of good expansion in the past, so all of this will be commissioned by H1 of FY25. Like Panoli is already under commissioning, as you just said, and the other capex that you're doing, all that will also come into production, mainstream production by January? Or
perfect.
Soon enough?
I would say towards April, the March to April of next year.
So FY25, we should expect substantial jump in top line?
It takes time, ramping up takes 1 or 2 to 3 years. So first year, second year will be, the crop business will be 2 years. The pharma business takes about, 18 to 24 months, because the validation itself takes 12 months to validate these products. And then you get approvals.
So last quarter, Sameer, as you mentioned, when someone had asked you with a 5-year vision of the company, you said hopefully by 26, 27, we'll be seeing top line of 3,500 to 4,000 crores. You still stick by it? that should be doable easily?
We are doing a lot of expansion and we are target to grow our business quite substantially in the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equirus PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Samir. Samir, one question that we as investors are not able to understand is, if you look at last commentary of last year, year and a half, of not only you, but multiple players across the segment talking about inventory destocking and prices going down. But the point is that most of those players also saw significant uptick when the prices went up, and also the growth was higher and volume and inventory stocking was happening. Like most, on an average, agrochemical exporters, revenue in API or API exporters, revenue went up between 50% and 70%. But our revenues also didn't go up. Like our revenues were hovering between like 1600 to 1900, 2000 crores. But now when the reverse is happening, we are bearing the brunt. So how is this cyclicality only hurting us on the downside, but did not have any impact on us on the upside?
No, actually, if you look at our crop revenue from FY22 to FY23, there was a significant upside. So we had benefited from that upside between FY22 and FY23. If you look at our sales in FY22, our crop sales grew from 660 crores in FY22 to 900 crores between FY21 to FY23. So we grew almost 300 crores on the top line in those 2 years. So there was significant uptick, as you said, during the good years of the crop business. We did benefit significantly from that.
No, no, I meant as an overall company, our revenues, Samir, went up by like 400 crores in 3 years. And if I look at the overall number, we are roughly at the same revenues we were like 3 years back, which is actually not the case for most of the players, even after the downtick that we are seeing right now. And on top of that, we have done large capexes. So like this has happened when also we have cumulatively done like 500 crore of total capex, 550 crores.
Actually, 3 years ago, we were 1,500 crores. And now last year we ended at 2,000 crores. So we actually added 500 crores on the top line if you look at the 3 to 4 year horizon. So we've not gone back to this number. FY22 and FY23 was flat, but if you go back 3 years, we've gone by 500 crores on the top line.
Sure. Sure. So suppose this all capex, I mean, just need one final thing. What's the total revenue like you will be able to do with the current capacities and your current capex completion happens?
All the new capex that we're putting in is an asset turnover between 1.2 to 1.4 in that range. And that's what we're targeting for the new capexes.
But so that guidance has also been revised downwards from what it was earlier, right?
No, it was always that in that range. It was probably maybe 1.3 to 1.5 in that range. So depending on the product mix, we are actually focusing more on the margin profiling, and it's close to 1.2 to 1.4. You can take an average of 1.2 to 1.4, yeah, 1.3.
Sure. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajvi Shah from Bright Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first is, how is a new business acquisition happening? Are you winning any new contracts?
Sorry, can you repeat that question? I couldn't hear you. What was it?
Yeah, sure. How is your new business acquisition happening? Are you winning any new contracts?
Yeah, I think the number of new inquiries have increased tremendously. We have several new inquiries and resulting in large number of projects which are under development, and the customer traction has increased. The number of audits, as Manoj mentioned, has gone up by 50%. Same thing on the crop side. A lot of that is resulting in new inquiries coming in. We're also onboarding new customers from new geographies. So we're spreading our business and the customer reliance is going down, and we're managing our risk with reliance on products and customers coming down.
Okay. And the next one is on pharma side. Are you winning new CDMO businesses?
Yes, we have.
Definitely on the pharma side, as we mentioned in my opening speech, that we have got two projects on phase three, which are under commercialization now. It takes maybe 1 or 2 years, depending on the customer approvals. And apart from that, there are a few others which are under active discussion and close to finalization.
Okay, that was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, to the previous participant, you answered that we should expect significant uptick in the margins. Can you please give us a ballpark number where we should expect the EBITDA margin for H2 and obviously for FY25 also?
Actually, because of the volatility, we are not giving any forward-looking statements right now. I'm not giving any estimates. Sorry, I won't be able to give you any numbers right now.
Okay, if we keep the volatility part, volatility thing aside for a while and depend on the, as you said, that the CDMO proportion would increase in H2. So accordingly, that should add 2-3% of EBITDA. Can we go by that figure?
I'm not going to give any numbers per se. I'm not giving any forward statements. It's a very volatile environment. Yeah.
All right. No.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Yug Mehta from AP Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Are you seeing any traction from European US companies vis-a-vis Chinese political situation?
Yeah, I think the American companies are moving faster away from China than the European companies. And because there's a political decision taken to get out of China and move away as much as possible. Europeans are doing it, but not as fast as the Americans. And the companies will stand to benefit in both segments, crop and pharma. There is a lot of customer interest and customer inquiries and a lot of delegations of companies coming and visiting Indian suppliers for new businesses and new opportunities.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. So my first question is on the pharma CDMO side. So if you can talk a bit more about, what kind of product pipeline we have, how many molecules, split between generic and NCE. And in NCE, what stage? Some granularity on that would be very helpful.
Manoj, can you answer that?
Yeah. So we had mentioned in my opening statement that we have two molecules which are in phase three, which are very promising. We have supplied some quantities in FY23, and we'll supply in FY24 also. Going forward, because they are in clinical stages, it's very difficult to predict how will they scale up, but our customers are very confident that they will make to the market and they will definitely be big products for us. There are several others which are in phase one, phase two, but that is a little too early for us to predict. And so it is better that we kind of hold on till they move to phase three, although we get fee for service kind of revenue for phase one, phase two also. But once it goes to phase three, we are more certain that is the time customer also kind of starts getting into contractual discussions. This is on the CDMO side. On the API side, we file around 2 to 3 DMFs every year, and that's the launch plan which we have for various other APIs. But the API business is not contractual in nature. That is more on the spot business with various generic companies. And it is good that we have a large portfolio. First, we always had in the CNS segment, Now we have built a portfolio in the anti-diabetic segment also.
Right. So, so Manoj, on the CDMO side, whatever is the current CDMO business, is it safe to assume that a large part of that CDMO is coming from non-NCE part, and going forward the NCE part will kick in?
Yes, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Because the non-NCE part remains as a kind of a base business, it's already launched products or life cycle management products. But the NCEs will add future, and they give you a sudden bump up in revenue, which may happen in FY25 or FY26.
Okay. Also, can you talk a bit about how does the length of the agreement in CDMO business for non-NCE part, how long they are, how the price variation happens, some color on that.
Usually, the CDMO contracts are 5 years, I'll say, and they have a price variation clause. And the raw material prices are mostly pass-through costs because there's various volatility in the raw material costs, but there's always a lag effect.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking this is that on the pharma side, we are at a very low margin. So is there any inventory loss, which is factored into this margin?
No, at this point of time, we have inventory, but not to that extent, especially on the CDMO, unless we get a customer firm forecast or firm purchase order, we don't really manufacture in advance. The margins are down, as I mentioned earlier, that because the CDMO segment, which is always of a higher margin, has shrunk due to customer inventory corrections. But we are confident of getting it back from 2024, quarter four of this financial year. So that is the time when customers will kind of relook at their inventory level and start placing orders.
Okay, got it. On the animal health side, I think Anish talked about kind of validation batches and taking validation batches for the number of products. So, at this juncture, can you talk about, how many molecules are at that stage where we can start taking validation batches? What's the portfolio? How many will get commercialized, in next year, FY25, and then how many into FY26? If you can give some sense on that.
Yeah, sure. So as we said that we are currently, the plant has been built and it's commissioned. We're currently undergoing validation of several products. So in the next, I would say, 18 months, we would have probably gone through validation of 6 to 8 products, where we supply the customers with the quantities they require to register the products, post which, once the registration comes through, the commercialization starts.
So is it, so as a process, is it safe to assume that the chemistry part of it is out of the way, that has been, the development has been complete, to the satisfaction of the customer, and then now the validation, the manufacturing part will come into play, and once thereafter the regulatory part will take its own time. That's how it will work, right?
In principle, yes. However, it happens concurrently. So you don't finish all the development all at once and then go into validation. So it's a concurrent. So as you finish development of 2 to 3 products, then you put it in the commercial cycle for validation. Then the remaining products in the pipeline get developed and then you push it through. So it's concurrently happening at the same time.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking is that if you're saying that next 12 months we'll do the validation part, typically registration takes, a couple of years, right, in some of the better geographies. So how do we expect ramp up from the animal health in next 2 years then? Because validation will take till, first half of FY25, and then regulatory approval will take another year and a half. So essentially, everything should start falling in place from FY26, second half.
So as I mentioned again, so we're submitting validation batches this year for some of the products that we have currently already developed that will start getting registered. But all registration doesn't take 24 months. There's certain registrations in certain countries in which it takes 12 to 14 months as well. So We expect that commercial revenues will start probably sometime in 26, but in the early part of 26.
Okay.
Yeah, and it depends on geographies as well, because these are global registrations. It's not a single country registration.
Right. Got it. Out of the CWIP of 550 crore, how many will get capitalized this year?
Puneet, please answer that.
Yeah, we are estimating almost 480-490 crore capitalization this year.
And you capitalize asset on the point of commercialization, right? When you take first commercial batch.
So there are two aspects. One is the completion of the project in terms of the ready to use, and then in a commercial production.
So when do you capitalize?
We capitalize on the completion of the project.
Completion. Okay, got it. And last question from my side. So I think we have, in our commentary, we have talked about, you know, if we see some revival on AgChem side from the, you know, the last quarter of FY24. So is this more of our estimation, or is this something which is the feedback that we are getting from customer? Because this timeline, not for us, but for everybody, has been, it keeps on changing. I mean, it was first in the second half. Now everybody talks about Q4. You know, some of the global players are now talking about first half FY25. So is this more of a guesstimate kind of a work, or is it based on some concrete feedback from our customers?
No, I think it's not guesstimate. I think it's based on the market data and the consumption patterns of the Brent products. We track that very closely. It depends on product to product. The inventory levels are different for different products. They're different for fungicides, insecticides, herbicides, different geographies. Depending on if you're selling in Latin America, the cycle is different. European and North America cycle is different. So you need to track it down and drill it down. Again, we track it based on market information, market and consumer data, discussions with our customers, and you know, this is, there's always a best estimate, a best guess, but this is what we work with. And we are looking at the exports out of China, the manufacturing situation in China. There are a lot of data that is being used to come to this decision. But you're right. I mean, it is data driven, but there is some level of estimation as well. But it's mostly data driven. Yeah.
Okay. And one more question on the margin, not like, you know, one or two quarters, but I think in the past also we've been saying that the newer products have higher gross margin, upwards of 50%. We were in that 48-50% range, and yeah, so eventually when new product mix changes, the gross margin will improve. So let's say when it goes above 50%, 50-52%, whatever cost structure that we have created today, is it fair to assume that we will be significantly above our historical margins of 19-20%. You can eliminate the timeline part of it when it happens. But is that the right way to look at the overall business model?
Yeah, it will go. I mean, as I've always said, the newer products have a much better margin profile than our historical portfolio. And with our investments already being put in place by end of this year, and our fixed costs being there to a large extent, there will be a significant uptake in margin due to the operational leverage also that we will get based on higher volumes and higher margin products that are being launched in the coming years.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Ankit Pandya from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. First question on the gross margin front. So in the current quarter, we have reported 51% of gross margin versus 56.1% in Q1 FY24. And historically, for the last around 5-6 quarters, we have been at the range of 56-48% gross margin. So just wanted to get some clarity on that front. Q1 had so many one-off item in the numbers, and how should we look at for the second half and on a steady state business on the gross margin front?
The numbers don't seem to be accurate, what you mentioned on the gross margin front.
Sorry, I didn't get you, sir.
You said the number that you mentioned don't seem to be the correct numbers that you mentioned on the gross margin. Our overall contribution margin was about 46% as a company and not 51% what you mentioned.
I just check on that. Sir, on the next second question on the volume front, volume side, how has been the growth in volume front for both the pharma and crop protection?
But if you look at the volume front for quarter two, for H1, if you look at for the crop protection business, the volumes have actually degrown by 26%. While for pharma, they've grown by 4%. So the company is a degrowth of 16%, primarily driven by the crop protection volume reduction. And
so in the crop protection, given that, you know, there's been on a year-on-year basis, there's been almost 39-40% decline. So sequentially going forward, can we assume some improvement in the crop protection business? Given that by Q4, all the channel inventory issues will get normalized. So sequentially, should we assume growth in the crop protection business?
So I think while the normalization starts from Q4, the improvement will start from Q4 for the crop business. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hirmat for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining our quarterly earnings call and for your continued interest in our company. We appreciate your support as we navigate through the global business environment. Our vision is to become a sustainable company that prioritizes technology, remains dedicated to effective execution, and maintains a strong customer-centric approach, ensuring best-in-class service in all our business sectors. We are strategically positioned to leverage the substantial opportunities presented by the ongoing global shift of supply chains to India. As we conclude this call, we want to assure you that we are here to address any further questions or concerns. Please feel free to reach out to us or to our investor relations partner, Strategic Growth Advisors. Once again, thank you for your participation. And wishing everyone a happy festive season. Wishing you a very happy Diwali. Good evening and have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Hykel Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.